While you're still clapping, can we put our hands together and give God some praise in this place? Let's give him what he deserves. He's worthy of our worship, and he's worthy of our praise. God is a good God, isn't he? And he is worthy of our praise. I am so excited, and it is always a great joy and great delight of mine to always be in the space of your pastor, my friend, and Lady Ariel. They are family to me, and I take this as always a great privilege and honor to come see what God is doing in the Bridge Church and to have this opportunity to worship with you guys. Can we just give God praise for your leaders, awesome man and woman of God, and what God is doing in the life of your church? And so I'm excited. We thank God for the worship ministry that has prepared the atmosphere and the soil for the Word of God. And while you're still standing, I want to encourage you right now to just take your Bibles and journey with me. Your pastor has already set the stage for the significance of this week. And as we celebrate today, Palm Sunday, I want to, in that same tone, that same theme, invite you to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And I want to go down to about verse 51 of that gospel, Luke chapter 9, around verse 51. And I just want to lift up a few verses out of this passage. And we will get ready to hear what God has for us today. Luke 9, beginning at about verse 51. It says this: "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem." I want to highlight that verse there for our time together this morning. And before you take your seat, if you would just indulge me for a moment and look your worship neighbor in the face and tell him these words. Say, "Neighbor, oh neighbor, fix your face." You may be seated. Father, I thank you today for ordering our steps for another week. And you've allowed us to go through the hustle and bustle. And you've brought us to your house of worship today. And now for those that are in this space and for those who are worshiping with us online, I pray now that you speak a word to us. Thank you for the worship that has now made the ground fertile for your word. So speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, we all say together, amen. Fix your face. When we examine and reflect and begin to study the life and ministry of Jesus, you will soon know, if you've read and studied about his life, his early years, and what ultimately leads to his public years of ministry, that Jesus pretty much spent his whole life in the region known as Lower Galilee. Except from the place where he was born, that we know was Bethlehem, and his family spent a short stay, a brief journey, and a brief moment they stayed in Egypt. But for the most part, Jesus grew up and worked near the Sea of Galilee. When he begins his public ministry, he begins his public ministry in an area that we know called Capernaum. And in this area, when Jesus begins his public ministry in the area of Capernaum, he would go out and preach and teach and heal, but he would always make his way back to the place called Capernaum by the sea. And so it's interesting and it's significant for us today that when Luke now begins to reference here in the 9th chapter, that Jesus now prepares to set out to go towards Jerusalem, it now marks a major shift in the life and in the ministry of Jesus. From this point forward, he would now push and propel his message forward into the heart of the Jewish community and the Jewish faith, into Jerusalem, and ultimately into the center of its temple. And Luke, here in the 9th chapter, marks this pivotal shift in the life and in the ministry of Jesus by telling us and sharing with us that Jesus now sets his face to go towards Jerusalem. Now, we already pretty much know what would ultimately happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem. We know here he would be confronted by the religious leaders and the masses who cry out Hosanna and shout for him on this day. That same crowd and those same masses in just a few days would be saying, crucify him. And before the week is up, Jesus would be crucified on a cross. All behind the decision he makes to go to Jerusalem. And Luke describes this decision by Jesus intently sets his face to go towards Jerusalem. Now, really, for me this morning in our time together, Jesus provides for me a great example I believe you and I need to follow of what an act of obedience to God looks like. Jesus's resolve as an act of obedience to obey God's will for his life, regardless of what it ultimately will cost him. Jesus's decision to set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing what he ultimately will be subjected to, now becomes a powerful lesson for you and I of what it really means to follow God and obey God regardless of what it may personally cost us. Jesus has set a powerful example of what it really means for us to walk and to live by faith. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. And can I suggest to you this morning that God is calling you and I to fix our face, to follow whatever his will is for our lives. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, fix your face. Jesus fixes his face to go towards Jerusalem. Can I ask you today, what is your face fixed for? What is it that God is calling you to? What is it that God is speaking to you? What are you called to do in this season, in this time and space? Is your face fixed on following and obeying the will of God for your life? Jesus fixed his face and went to Jerusalem. Now, I believe today for those who are serious about obeying God and doing the will of God And if you're going to fix your face and follow and obey the will of God for your life, I believe it will require us to commit to doing a couple of things. When we look at what Jesus does here in this passage, once he fixes his face and he sets his face to go to Jerusalem, there are several things that become obvious, some observations from this passage that I think today will help us fix our face to live out the will of God. Anybody interested this morning? Anybody interested? If you're interested, bring it on, Pastor. Bring it on. All right, let's go. Here we go. The first thing I think, if we're going to fix our face, it requires is, number one, it requires determination. Everybody say determination. Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem for one reason. Y'all ready for it? He believed it to be the will of God for his life. The only reason Jesus ultimately goes to Jerusalem is he believes that it is the will of God for his life. If Jesus does not believe that going to Jerusalem is the will of God for his life, y'all, he stays in Capernaum. He stays in the comfort of what was familiar, of what he had grown accustomed to. He stays in the region of Capernaum. He stays in Lower Galilee. He doesn't leave out of what is comfortable and now what has grown convenient for him. The only reason he now goes, with all of the uncertainty that he will face in Jerusalem and all of the scrutiny he would be subjected to, he goes there and knowing ultimately he will ultimately be crucified and his life would come to an end. He goes there because he understands that it is the will of God for his life. And he's determined. He's determined to live out God's will for his life. Is there anybody here today have that same determination? That I want to be in the center of God's will for my life, that I want to live out what God is calling me to. I want to be in God's will, even though I will face things that are uncertain, even though I will be subject to things, even though I may face scrutiny, even though I may be ostracized, but I am determined that I am going to live out God's will for my life. This is the starting point of a life of faith. To seek God's will over all else. See, you got to have that sense of determination. See, the world says, weigh the pros and cons. Keep your options open. The world says, you know, before you commit... Do you have a plan B? Before you make this step of faith, check out all your options. Keep your options on because, you know, if things don't work out. But Jesus is determined. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Can I suggest that this is what it means to put God first, trusting that God not only has a plan for your life, but that his plan is the perfect plan. Yeah. And when I'm determined, when I've reached that sense of determination, I will begin to live out Matthew 6:33, which says, but seek ye first. the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what, y'all? Everything else will fall in place. Has anybody discovered and learned that in life? That the more determined I am to put God first and to be in God's will, that everything else in my life has a unique and wonderful way of just falling in place. I wish I had about five people that could give God praise, that the more determined I am to live in his will, to obey his word, and to put God first in my life, everything else has a way of just falling in place. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will work out. If I'm going to fix my faith, it requires, number one, that I have a sense of determination. Jesus is determined that he is going to follow and obey God's will for his life. So it requires, number one, determination. But not only does it require determination, secondly, it will require that you and I become undistracted. Somebody say undistracted. Well, let's follow Jesus. Now watch this. The Bible says that Jesus now has set his face to go towards Jerusalem. He is intently now looking to go towards Jerusalem. And as he does this, y'all, he does this now with a sense of determination. And as he and his disciples set out, notice what the scripture says. As they set out, y'all, they come to an area called Samaria. If we come to Samaria, look at what the Bible says. Look at the verses here that are before us. When you go back, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go towards Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went out, they entered in a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him. Why didn't they receive Jesus? Here it is. Because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. It's interesting here. Notice the intensity of Jesus in this moment. Notice the sense of determination that he has in this moment. Jesus, he has now fixed his face to go to Jerusalem with a sense of purpose, a sense of motivation, a great sense of determination. And when they get to Samaria, the Bible says that the Samaritans had prepared for Jesus, but Jesus doesn't seem quite hospitable. Isn't that interesting? Jesus doesn't seem to want to be bothered. It says it right here. Luke says they reached Samaria in the village, but the Samaritans would not receive him. I want you to get this. It is not a matter of the Samaritans not wanting to receive Jesus. Jesus, in this instance, is so focused and his face is so set to Jerusalem that he doesn't have time to hang out and recline and receive the hospitality of the Samaritans. My God. I know it bothers you to think that Jesus won't take time to entertain others. I know. But hang in here for a moment. Hang in here. I know it bothers you that Jesus doesn't have time to receive hospitality. I know we like the Jesus that calls all of the little children to him. But now give me a moment. Understand, this is the same Jesus that sometime before went out of his way to go through Samaria to meet a woman at the well. Now, this is the same Jesus. Are y'all here? This is the same Jesus that changed his route and detoured his route to go through Samaria, which took him out of his way. He was inconvenienced in some places later in the Gospels to meet that woman at the well to change her life. But now when he goes through Samaria, he ain't got time to chill. Why? Because his face is fixed. To go where? To Jerusalem. Jesus gives us and shows us something valuable. I believe this is valuable because there comes a time, and I think a lot of us are learning this in life, that you got to get to a point where you are undistracted. What kills a lot of us is our lives are filled with so many distractions. Yeah. We got so many distractions. And so it's hard for a lot of us to stay focused. It's hard for a lot of us to commit to God's will and to God's work and his purposes because we got so many things that are distracting us. There's a story that goes, one day Satan called a meeting with all of his demons and all of his imps, and he called a meeting. And he called the meeting for this purpose. He looked at Christians and he said, well, it doesn't seem like we're ever going to be able to stop them from going to church. So this is what I want to do. I want to change your focus. I want to change your mission to this one objective. I want us to fill humans and Christians' lives with so much busyness. I want us to flood their life with so much busyness that it becomes hard for them to stay focused on what it is God wants them to do. And he believed, and he shared this with all of his demons, that I believe if we can't stop them from going to church and worshiping, let's destroy them another way. Let's destroy them by making them busy. Keep their life flooded so much so that they become distracted. Can I tell you how the enemy destroys a lot of us? Is he destroys a lot of us because we haven't yet to be able to discern between good and best. We haven't been able to discern the things of what is good and what is best for me to be doing. And what ends up happening for so many of us is our lives get filled with so many things distracting us. And what the enemy knows is if he can distract us, he can cause us to take detours in life. And the more we take detours, the more he puts us in a position to destroy us. But I believe there's some people in the Bridge Church today on this Palm Sunday that's making up their mind that my face is fixed and I'm determined in this season that I'm not going to let things distract me. I'm going to be undistracted. If you're in this season going to commit to being undistracted, that you're going to be focused, your face is fixed on God's will for your life, you ought to give him a praise right there and say, I am focused. Undistracted. Jesus is undistracted. He's undistracted. He has a sense of urgency. He's moving with a sense of urgency. Can I ask you a question? Is there anything you feel a sense of urgency about right now? Is there a sense of urgency of what God is calling you to, for his will for your life? Are you moving now with a sense of urgency? Jesus here is moving with a sense of urgency. That's why he doesn't have time to hang out in Samaria. Even though they're ready to receive him, Jesus is not being distracted because his face is fixed. See, when your face is fixed, you'll move with a sense of determination. When your face is fixed, you won't be distracted. Yeah. You know, in sports, they say it another way. They got the game face on. When they get that look, if you've been following the Masters the last couple of days, the hype has been behind Tiger returning to golf. And he has that look on his face. With all of the cameras, with all of the commentators, with all of the crowd, he has a unique way of blocking all of that out. Pastor Jones, I told my wife, I probably would have hit somebody with a ball. All of these people around me trying to tee off. But there's a sense of what? Urgency and focus. He's undistracted by all of the commotion around him. Oh, God. Can I tell you, in this season, I believe God is calling the church. He's calling us to get our faces fixed. So I move with a sense of determination. I move and I begin to operate by not being distracted. And here's the last and final thing. So Jesus has this sense of urgency. And I believe under the Holy Spirit today that God is calling you. He's speaking to you. But the problem is we keep procrastinating. We keep putting off. There's some people that you know that card that you know you need to give it to, but you're going to carry it around in your bag for another 4 or 5 days to after the week is over, and then you'll go back into your purse and you'll go back into your book bag and you'll look at me like, oh, man, here's this card. But you know there's somebody who needs Jesus. You know that coworker. You know that neighbor. You know that family member that you're already praying for, but you're not moving with a sense of urgency. God is calling you to ministry. He's calling you to service, but you keep delaying. You keep putting it off, and you keep thinking you got time. But God sent me here today as a messenger to you to tell you today, no, you don't have time. You don't control the time clock. You don't know what tomorrow has for you. And today, you can't put off today for tomorrow. No, you need to move today with a sense of urgency. You need to bless who God is calling you to bless. If he's calling you to service, if he's calling you to volunteer, if he's calling you to evangelize, no, you got to move with a sense of urgency, and you got to block out every other distraction and commit to God's will for your life. When we fix our face, we become determined. When we fix our face, we become undistracted. But then when we fix our face, notice what the Bible tells us here. As Jesus goes through Samaria and his disciples begin to question whether or not they should cast a curse over the Samaritans, Jesus said, listen, y'all missing the whole point. They ain't bothering us. My face is fixed. We're going through Samaria. I'm moving with a sense of urgency. I got to get to Jerusalem. And it's interesting, as they go and as he continues to journey, when you read the rest of that chapter, what ends up happening, Jesus ends up having several conversations with people as he passes by and as he begins to journey through Samaria. And when you get down to about verse 58, it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" Wow. Y'all ready for the last thing? If you're going to fix your face, it's going to require that we become determined. It's going to require that you and I become undistracted. And it's going to require that we become devoted. As Jesus is passing his way, a gentleman says to him, "Jesus, I'll follow you." And Jesus looks at him and says to him, do you know where I'm going?" And he says, "Do you really want to go with me? You might want to think twice before you so eagerly say you going with me, that you'll follow me." He says, "What? Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Mm. Jesus said, that's what it means to follow me. He says, when you commit yourself to the will of God for your life, here it is. You got to count the cost. Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Jesus says, it cost to follow me. Yeah, yeah. It costs. There's some things you're going to have to give up. That it may mean you may are inconvenienced. There's some stuff you're going to have to sacrifice. And Jesus, here's what I love. His face is fixed. Jesus is devoted. He's devoted because Jesus has already counted the cost. Whew. He ultimately already knows, church, that it's going to cost him his life. He counted the cost before he went to Jerusalem. He doesn't wait to get to Jerusalem to figure out the cause. No, when he sets his face, he already knows what it's going to ultimately cost him. But here it is. Here's the good news. I can't get you here before we get to next Sunday. I can't do that. But I got a place we can celebrate and we can shout and go home and get ready for this week. Jesus counts the cost. And what excites me is when Jesus calculated what it was going to cost. Here's what I get glad today, y'all. He thought I was worth it. Oh, my God. When he counted the cost and when he looked at what it was going to cost him, is there anybody here today that can celebrate the fact that Jesus said, I was worth it? That he looked at Sheridan Nelson. He looked at you. He looked at you. He looked at you online, and he said, you were worth it. For everything he will ultimately go through on that cross, he said, you and I were worth it. And can we have a moment right now where we celebrate God, where we give God praise because he thought I was worth it? I dare you to open up your mouth, lift your hands, and say, I was worth it. I was worth it. He did it for me. Oh, God. Because he thought I was worth it. He fixed his face and he went and he set out for Jerusalem. He fixed his face with determination, undistracted, and devotion. And he counted the cost. Because I was worth it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands right where you are. Lift those hands right where you are. And just like Jesus fixed his face, you and I, we gotta fix our face. Because he's calling us. There's a purpose that you and I need to live out. He has a will for our life. And we gotta begin to walk it out. And the way we do that, behind our mask, is I gotta fix my face. So with those hands raised, can you just take a moment and commit yourself to the will of God? Say, God, I'll follow you. I'll serve you. I'll serve you. I hear you, God. I hear you. Today is confirmation. I hear you. I got to commit to in a greater way. I hear you, God. I got to get focused. I'm so distracted. I got so many things pulling at me. I hear so many voices. I got to get some of this stuff off my plate. I got to have greater discernment in this season. I hear you, God. I hear you. Speaking to our church, I hear you, God. We can't allow the devil to distract us. But it's going to require focus. I hear you. So God, our hands are lifted. And we turn our faces towards you. We look to you. Thank you, Jesus. We fix our faces today. Oh, God. God. Today, we move with a sense of determination, a greater sense of urgency, a greater sense of purpose, a greater sense of calling. So much is happening in the world around us. Focus us now. Bring us into another level of accountability. In Jesus' name, I thank you right now. I thank you, Jesus, that you fixed your face and went towards Jerusalem because you saw my face and what I needed. So we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you that you thought we were worth it. You gave your life for us. You thought we were worth it. And we bless you and we praise you now. So God, today we hear you speaking to us. And we make a vow and declaration today that we're going to fix our face and we're going to move forward to what you're calling us to. In Jesus' name. If your face is fixed today, I dare you to give God your best praise in this place. Come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah. Fix your face.